tonight, I want you to recognize that eternal life starts now. It's not somewhere in the future. It's now, this moment. It is not something that Father is wanting any of us to postpone until we get to heaven. He wants us to experience the fullness of life now on this earth. As we were talking just now, I said if somebody dies, we check to see if they have a pulse. We check to see if they're breathing. We check some of those vital signs. The bottom line is we have to recognize that there may be something that's causing that person to have their physical body stop working. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people walking around that you have to begin to wonder, are they really fully alive? That was where I was going to go before. Because you don't see them having much excitement and expression in their faces. You don't see them enjoying life. You see them going through the motions. You see them basically existing.
Yeah, right.
And tonight, Father has told me, I want you to stir up my family and help them to recognize I always planned a whole lot more than what most of us are experiencing. So the verse that you're probably all very familiar with is John 10:10. Okay? But John 10:10 in the Message Bible, I really like it because it says, I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Do we realize how much his dream is for us to experience his life? In the Passion Translation, it says, my desire is to give them everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness, until you overflow. When you're full of life, it just sort of bubbles out of you. I mean, people have sort of accused me of being bubbly.
Accused.
That's a good thing.
That's a harsh word.
But let's just put it this way. I just get excited about things. Mm-hmm. And it just sort of comes out. Sorry. That's because he told me several years ago, I said, you know, I was getting older, and I said, Father, I don't feel older. I feel younger. And he says, that's right, because you got more of me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way we're all supposed to be. Okay? In the Amplified, it says, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. So all of us are meant to experience the fullness of that life. It's not meant to be a little dab. Okay, I just gave you a little dab and now be content. No, he wants us to experience the fullness of it. And that's what I want you to be stirred up about tonight. I know you have all accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. They're sitting in this room right now. I know that you have experienced some things with him. I know I've experienced some things, but I guess I just know there is more. And I am wanting to be more aware of him and more aware of his life than my natural life. Adam and Eve, when they first were in that garden with God, they were fully alive. There was nothing but life in them. They were fully engaged with him. They enjoyed being connected to Father. They were in relationship with him. And they had a heart-to-heart connection. I am convinced that's what it means to be fully alive. The more we are connected to him, the more we're in relationship with him, the more we experience what he's always planned for us, the more we're going to feel alive. No matter what's going on in this natural realm. Father always planned for his children to live forever with him. He was to be eternally our father. And we were to be his family. But that got messed up. But guess what? He always planned. He was always working to make sure he was going to get his family back. He was not going to do without you. He was not going to do without any one of us. He sent his son so that we could experience that life. But the idea of what life really is meant to look like has been lost since the garden. It's been lost for generations. We've only been focused on this outward life that we can touch. Those five physical senses, that's the place that we think we're alive. But in Genesis 2:7, it says that God breathed, you know, after he formed Adam out of the dust of the earth, okay, he breathed into Adam. I'm going to read it so that I'm not misquoting it. in Genesis 2:7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Okay? Now, we have a friend. His name is Bill Morford, and he has a great knowledge of Hebrew, and he has translated the entire Bible from the original Hebrew. And I spoke with him on the phone last week as I was preparing this because I wanted to make sure I was accurate. And the word there for man, he said it could be mankind. He breathed into Adam, the first man, but he breathed into mankind. And he said when he breathed the breath of life, it should really read, and it's only in about two translations out of 35 or 40 that it only says life, but there's only two that say lives. He breathed into Adam the breath of lives. Two. Our physical life and an inner life. Our spiritual life. He breathed both of them. But so many of us and many people walking around only are focused on this outward life that is ruled by our five physical senses that we've lost sight of or never understood the fullness of what that interior life was meant to be. Okay? He became a living being. And when I was talking to Bill Morford, he said, really and truly, when God breathed, he was carrying the very force of life and placing it into that man. Can you see how much Father wants us to be like him and walk with him? He always planned that. He always planned for us to have the fullness. But when Adam and Eve ate of that tree in the garden of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in Genesis 3, did they die physically? No. They didn't die physically. In fact, there are times when I think Adam maybe really thought after he did it and God was talking to him that he was, okay, when am I going to drop over? But he didn't. But what died were his eyes of his interior life closed and he was cut off in his heart, in his inner heart connection with Father. That's what died. And we have lost what it means to have a interior heart connection with our Heavenly Father. Because that's what we've inherited all the way since Adam. We don't know what it was always destined to be. Now we need to see that while the first Adam died in that way, the second Adam, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:45, Jesus became the second Adam and he became the life-giving spirit. So Jesus, when we accept him, we have that breath of the Spirit come back into that inner life so that we can experience that true heart connection with our Heavenly Father. But most of us didn't grow up hearing that. Most of us, if you've gone to a church, you may never have heard that even if you went to a church. And if you didn't grow up in a church, you surely may not have heard it. But we are meant to bear the heavenly image just of Jesus Christ. Just as we have our identity in Adam, on the outside, we are meant to have our interior life, our interior identity changed so that we have the very image of Jesus Christ on the inside. Yet that's not something that's automatic. We're not used to experiencing that. We're not used to walking in that. This whole evening of sharing with you all started when I went to Romans 6:11. I was familiar with reading it in the New King James. Reckon yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. But I had read it in the Passion Translation, and I put it in my notes rather than having that book here. It says, since you are now joined with him, you continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal, while living daily for God's pleasure in union with Jesus, the Anointed One. Living daily for God's pleasure. In union with him. There's not meant to be a separation between us and our Father. It's not, oh holy God and oh sinful me. It's meant to be, we are one. He wants us to come close to him. He wants us to draw our very life from him. He's not holding out on us. But all too often, because of what we've grown up with, and because of the images we may have of who he is because of earthly fathers or because of authority figures, we may have a hard time believing that he really wants to give us every good thing. that he wants to have that continual union with us. The Living Bible says, be alert to him. In other words, what I'm saying to you is, he's just saying, I'm here. Sort of jumping up and down saying,
do you see me?
See me?
Do you see me?
I'm here. I want you to come and spend time with me. I want you to know I've got good things for you. And yet, we can have our spiritual eyes closed. We can have our spirits sleep. We can be so tuned in to the things of this world that we miss the things of his kingdom. We miss the love that he's always planned for us. In Romans 6:8, it says, if we died with him, also live with him. And the Greek word there, I looked it up, it means to continue to live in common. In other words, he doesn't want to be a guest in your house. He wants to be a resident. He wants to take up residence in you and just enjoy going through life. He can handle the bad days and the mistakes and all the mess, and he doesn't get upset at us. It's amazing because people do, but he doesn't. It's amazing. And on top of that, in Romans 6:4, it says, we were co-resurrected with him, so we are empowered to express an entirely new life. Where's the power coming from to live an entirely new life? From him. You don't have to try harder. This isn't about trying harder. This isn't about performing. This is about letting him fill you with his life, with every good thing. We were truly meant to live our lives from him. He is meant to be our very life, and he lives on the inside of us. So he's just saying, okay, let me in. And then he's saying, and then let me out. You know, I heard somebody on a message go, let me out! He gets into us, and then he just wants to get out.
Right.
He wants to be able to have us express him to other people. So you have to be so comfortable with him on the inside that then you can just let him out when you're interacting with other people, because it's just who you are, because it's who he is. It's not meant to be a hard thing. It's meant to be an easy thing. But death means being a loss of life, as we were talking about at the beginning. And the idea, for me, death often means separation, because suddenly we're separated from that person that we loved. We may know where they are in heaven, but we're separated from them. Well, that's what I think is a better definition for me of what death is that it's separation. And Father sent Jesus to bring us back, to redeem us so that we could be joined into his family again with nothing separating us. We were meant to be united with Jesus and our Father. And I'm convinced we were made for relationships. Okay? When we are in relationships with other people, it's sort of like we can stir each other up. I'm so thrilled to see you. We can bring joy to one another. Because being in the presence with somebody else, it brings joy. I see you. You're special. You're valuable. You're precious. I'm so glad you're here. And so all of those things make us feel more fully alive. We were meant to smile and look at each other and say, you are special. You're part of God's family, or you're not even part of God's family yet, but you're one of God's creations, and so you're special. I believe we were made to be in a relationship because that's the way Father always planned it. But the world hasn't seen it that way. Jesus tried to encourage his disciples not to focus just on this exterior life. He didn't want them to just focus on the world. They had 3 years with him. In Mark 8:35, it talks about, and especially in the Amplified Version, it talks about letting go of the low life to find the high life. And I heard somebody say that to me years and years ago, but I realized that I really wanted the high life. I really wanted whatever he had for me. And as I was preparing for tonight, I was sharing this with a friend on Tuesday. And as I spoke, I still don't know what I said because it came directly from his spirit. I wish I'd had a recorder on. I really do. Because the presence of God invaded the room. And for the next 20 minutes, we just sat there almost in silence. We couldn't talk. But it was so powerful. I'm not sure that I can say it the same way tonight, but it impacted my heart so much. He said, I need you to let go of what you think life is so that I can give you what I've always planned. I need you to let go of what seems so familiar, the patterns of how you're used to doing your days. And I need you to let me show you that maybe there's a better way. Maybe I've got something else that you didn't even dream of yet, but I've always planned it for you. Do you realize we have a Father? He had a dream for each of our heart, for each of our lives. Our parents may have had a dream for what they hoped we might become. But our Heavenly Father, I know, has a dream for each one of us. And are we going to let Him have the joy of seeing a part of that happen? It's letting go of the familiar and not loving just the things of the world and allowing Him to become the very life. And that means, for me, what that's become is He's the source of everything. I'm drawing everything that I need for today from Him. I'm no longer my own power source. It's not like that lamp. That lamp is plugged into a wall socket in order to plug into the electrical source, which is the power. But if I was to try and plug that lamp into the bottom of the lamp, how much power would there really be? There may have been a battery or something that would last for a short time, but it's not going to last long. And too often, we are like trying to plug into ourselves. Okay, I will take care of this. I will be able to do this. I've got the energy. I know what to do in this situation. I don't really need to consult anybody. I know, I can do. And that's the way I used to live so much of my life years ago. I was very much the orphan, looking out for Sue as to what she was going to do. I just determined Father has a better way. And Father really wants that to be. I'm going to go give you a couple more verses. Acts 17:25 and verse 28. It says, He gives all life and breath and all things to all of mankind. Do we realize He is the source? That's why I'm trying to share a couple verses. In Him we live and move and have our being. We may not even know Him, but He's the one that holds this whole universe together. He's the source. He's the source of life. In Him we live and function and have our identity, it says in the Passion Translation. We're human beings, and we're not human doings. And that human being aspect is where life is meant to flow from. We're meant to be filled with Him. It says we can love Him because He first loved us. If we don't receive His love first, we don't have anything to give Him back or anybody else. So the more we become good receivers, the more life we're going to receive, the more love we're going to receive, the more we're going to have to be fully alive. He has so much He wants to give us. Will we simply receive it? That's what He really challenged me with. Will you let me be the source of everything? Will you let me be all in all? All in all. That means there's nothing left out. Well, if He's all in all, then guess what? He's all life. He's all love. He's all goodness. He's all grace. But what does that require?
Letting go.
Letting go of being all grown up and thinking we can take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. It requires becoming childlike. And depending on our daddy rather than self. It requires letting go of the ways we have been taught and trained by the world, even with our intellect, and saying, okay, daddy, what needs to happen here? I mean, we can think we know how to fix something or we know what to do in order to find something. I mean, last week we couldn't find a set of keys that were my brother's for a car that we had to pick him up at the airport. And we looked for 45 minutes. Finally, okay, Father, show us where this is. And the Lord gave Rick an image of where He had put them when he came home. But it was like, yeah, it took a little bit of time for us to get to that place. We thought we were trying, and we really thought we had asked Father. But I'm just saying, we have to get this knee-jerk reaction back to what it's like to be a little child, a little toddler, saying, Daddy, I can't do it. I need you. That's pregnant right now. He just wants each of us to examine our hearts. And I just sense tonight, He may be having you ask Him, where is it that I need you? That I haven't asked for your help. That I haven't let your life be my source. I'm going to buzz through a couple more things. But that's where Daddy wants us to be. He wants us to get to the place where we let go of thinking we've got all the answers and we know what to do, or we can figure it out ourselves. He wants us to let Him be everything. That's when life begins. Because that's when the relationship heart to heart takes place. I'm just going to give you some scripture verses. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, it says that by His divine power, He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And that we're partakers of His divine nature now. Do you see yourself as having His divine nature and His life? What image do you have of yourself on the inside? Do you see Him on the inside? Do you see Him wanting to be there to help you in every circumstance? Do you see Him supplying the grace when you're exhausted? Do you see Him supplying the answer when you don't have one? That's looking to the source rather than to within. I would encourage you to read through the Gospel of John. I mean, it was like one verse after another came up talking about life. The book of John talks a lot about life. And if you want a place to go meditate about life, go to the book of John. John 1:4 says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of man." When we have life, we're also going to have light. We're not going to stumble in darkness. We're going to see the way that we should be walking. Because when we have light, then we will be. That's the only way a plant grows. It's got to have light in order to grow. Well, we need His light, that life and light come together, and that will bring us into a much better place. It says in the Message, I really like this, what came into existence was life, and the life was the light to live by. So if we can see Jesus and how He came to show us the way and how we were always meant to live our lives. The one verse that was really powerful to me was from the Message Bible, from John 5:24, and I'm going to read that one. And it says, this one really blew me away. "It's urgent that you listen carefully to this. Anyone who believes what I am saying right now and aligns himself with the Father, who has in fact put me in charge, has at this very moment the real lasting life and is no longer condemned to be an outsider. This person has taken a giant step from the world of the dead to the world of the living." Can we align ourselves with Him? Ask Him, where do you need to align yourself that you haven't? There are several verses in John 6, but it says in John 6:47 and 48, in the Passion, it says, "Unite your heart with me and believe, and you will experience eternal life. I am the true bread of life." So if we will feed on His words from this book, you're going to find Him imparting the life, because He wants you to know, okay, that as the living Father has sent me, this is verse 57 of John 6, "As the living Father has sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me." He will become our life, it says in the Passion. In John 63 of chapter 6, it says, "It's the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. As we hear Him speak His words to our hearts, they become the reality, they become the life. They become the substance upon which we can walk." When you hear Him saying, "Bonnie, you've got what it takes to do that." When you hear Him with your heart speak that to you, then it's words of rhema, it's words of life spoken from His heart to yours. There's logos, which we can read. But if you sit down and read just the black letters on this white page, you've missed the heart of the author. You need to sit down and see that there's more in the white than the black. There's a lot more that I could say. But John 17:3 in the Passion Translation says, "Eternal life means to know and experience you as the only true God." He wants you to encounter Him. He doesn't want this to be a neat little thing. It's not a bunch of rules and regulations. It's not a bunch of principles. He wants you to have a heart-to-heart relationship, face-to-face encounter. The word presence in the Hebrew means face. He wants you to see his face and him to see yours. He wants to have you look into his face and know how much he adores you, how precious you are to him. The image of where Jesus is at today, what does he look like and what does he want to impart to you? That's what I want to leave you with. The image that he gave me is one from John 15. And I'm not going to go through and read John 15. I was going to, but no, not for the sake of time. But what's the image that's in John 15? The vine and the branches. Okay? I want you to see. He's the vine. The vine is what's got the root in the ground that all that branch needs in order to produce fruit. There is no way for that vine to bear the fruit. It has to have the branches. And there's no way for that branch to produce the fruit if it's not connected to the vine. That's the kind of image. And I'm just telling you, Father has placed it all over nature. You look at a mountain, it's the mountain from which the water flows down, which is the source from which the river comes. We need the source in every aspect of our lives. But I challenge you to let him speak to you about how he wants you to draw eternal life from him. He wants you to realize abiding in his love is the place of real life. Let his love feed you, sustain you, and keep you connected to him. That's the place of real life. It's continual. It's constant. It's that awareness of dependency upon him, and yet knowing that he's nothing but good. He's nothing but life and love and goodness and mercy and grace and every good thing. And he wants it. He wants you to be plugged into him. IVs can be plugged in. A doctor puts an IV into your body so that he can hydrate you or put antibiotics in or whatever. Too many of us walk around with our IV. And we try and plug into this person. Plug into that person. Rather than plugging into him. Ask him, where have you tried to plug into somebody else? That he wants to be the place where you plug into him. He wants to be the source that you draw upon. The place where you maybe never got your love needs met. That's the first place to look. Because he loves you. And he wants to fulfill every one of your needs. He wants to meet every one of your needs. And he wants to draw you to himself. So on the other side of this soaking time, it's meant to be an intimate time between you and him. But I'm believing you're going to have some answers to those questions. You're going to see him for who he is. You're going to have an answer of what he wants to be for you in places where you weren't plugged into him before. Where you can be totally looking to him as your source. Where you can be childlike.